I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 82 of the Uncovered podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And we've got a fair few talking points on this week's Uncovered. But before that, just to quickly remind everybody, all of our written work, podcasts and videos are available at goodareas.co. So go bookmark that website. That could be a one-stop shop for everything that we do. And starting off with Bisma Maroof, legendary Pakistan batter and former captain. She has called it a day. Jared hung up her boots and she ends with the most runs for Pakistan in women's ODIs and women's T20s. She's got the best win-loss ratios as captain in both these formats as well, and most 50-plus scores. And as our friend Hypocost pointed out on Twitter, you know, for a team like Pakistan, which doesn't dominate in women's cricket, she's also got the most 25-plus scores for Pakistan. So I think that's a very valid statistic. We all know how much of an impact she's had as an athlete mum. She also did a podcast with Sky recently of how she's juggled both, you know, playing for Pakistan, leading Pakistan, and then also being a mother. And as someone who is from Pakistan, Jared, I'd say that Bisma Maroof's impact and influence that she's had on and off the field is probably second only to Sana Mir, because she's probably inspired a hell of a lot of women to pick up a bat in this country.
Yeah, was it expected? I mean, because I was kind of caught off guard by it.
I thought that she would stick around till either the T20 World Cup or the ODI World Cup. This was a bit unexpected. I'm not sure what has happened behind the scenes. I am in touch with Bisma, so I wish her congratulations. It's a bit too personal of a question to ask other things. But I feel like, you know, something just like felt wrong for her. It was, I think she in her head thought that it was time. And she probably wanted to spend more time with her family as well. Like, she is 32 now, which weirdly enough, in women's cricket is quite an old age, right? People do call it an age at that point. So I think it was unexpected. She hadn't told her teammates either. So it was a shocker for them and everyone was crying. But yeah, it definitely weakens Pakistan a lot.
I wonder if she was trying to get to the World Cup and maybe wasn't, you know, whether it be, you know, form or emotionally or physically or whatever, just couldn't get there in the end, because it's weird to retire in a World Cup year.
Yeah. And I mean, she wasn't the fastest scorer around the block, but she was the one who held the fort for Pakistan, which was honestly very important for this team, because it's not like it's flooded with batting talent. They lost a hard-hitting batter in Aisha Naseem earlier this year, or maybe it was late last year, because she left for personal reasons. Javeria Khan has retired, right? She's also called it a day. So a lot of those mainstays in Pakistan's batting order have retired now or left for other reasons. And I mean, Bisma is someone who's widely respected in this country. And she's one of those rare Pakistan women's cricketers like Sana Mir, who's gotten her dues abroad as well. Like, people have a lot of respect for her.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not, we were just talking about it before in the other podcast, right? It isn't as if there's a lot of big star women's Pakistani players, but she certainly is one that everyone sort of instantly knows. I'm just having a look at her form this year. So she averaged, this is T20Is, averaged 36 with a strike rate of 95. And like last year, she averaged 21 with a strike rate of 78. Yeah. So it doesn't appear to me like she suddenly decided that she can't bat anymore. I'll just have a look at her one day. Is what she averaged 30 in one day cricket. She only played a couple of games. Wait, just let me check that again to make sure I got the numbers right the first time. But yeah, you know, there might be many. Oh, sorry, she hasn't played a T20 this year, so she'd only played the three internationals this year. Those were her numbers from last year. But again, they don't suggest that she was losing her form. But she's not a natural T20 player. I think we can all safely say that.
Surely.
A sub 100. Yeah, I mean, what were? I just want to have a look. Has she ever struck at over a strike rate of 100? In, oh no, she's got 2 years over a strike rate of 100 in T20 cricket. 18, 19, those were her glory years, right? So, she, you know, it's one of the reasons we haven't seen her as a franchise player because she can bat. But, you know, she's just unfortunately not a player of this generation. I'm sure there are a lot of Pakistani fans having a go at her in games when her strike rate was a bit slow, like Mitali Raj had before her. But they came from a different generation where it was a different kind of batting was required, right? And, good on her for giving it a go for as long as she did. Like she ended up with a very, very deep, you know, just having a look here. What's that? 28, almost 3,000 runs in T20 internationals for someone who's not suited in it. So, yes, she averages just under 30 in ODIs and 3,300 runs in that as well. Like that's a big impact when, as you said before, there isn't a lot of tentpole players in women's Pakistani cricket.
Yeah, she definitely was a trailblazer in that regard. And while her game had chinks in it, I feel like she has definitely inspired the next generation of Pakistani batters. And trust me when I say that women's cricket is just catching steam in this country, right? Go to the last 5 years and that's when you see much of the interest build. Before that, Sana Mir, that's the only person people know of, right? So, and this is a country, you know, where women's cricket started pretty late and the initial teams had to, you know, they were put on exit control lists and all of that stuff. So there was a lot of resistance. So, you know, we've come a long way since then, and hopefully one day we'll get to see an Afghan team as well. So, you know, Bisma Maruf, definitely doff my hat to her and best of luck to her in retirement. All right, I've got a lot of Pakistan news for you, but before we're going to talk about New Zealand's T20 squad, okay? Because they did release it and before the squad even, have you checked out that teal aquamarine jersey?
I have not. No, sorry. Is this a thing?
Yes,
did I miss
you
it?
You missed it. And it's basically, you know, the 99 sort of pattern, but the colors are popping. It's more Brisbane Heat-ish. And you know how much I love that jersey. So I love this. I want one. If we've got someone from New Zealand, can you send me one? I would love that.
I've got this. I've got the Jeff Allen shirt.
You've got the Jeff Allen.
I don't know if it's... Yeah, I can't remember. I've got one. I don't think I've got this one. I think I've got the worst one. which I asked Danny Morrison if it was the worst shirt he ever had to wear. He was very diplomatic. He wasn't actually. I don't think he liked it. That's an interesting... I mean, occasionally they just whip one in, don't they? Just to keep us interested. Yeah. Good on them. It's not... I just think they have a really good natural colors. They don't need to do that. But hey, go with it.
Sometimes they'll go beige. Sometimes they'll go teal. Sometimes they'll go beige and teal or... beige and black and teal and black or something like that. But... For me, like, I love clean jerseys. I love their 2019 ODI World Cup jersey because it was black, it was clean. And this one also, it's just really neat looking. But anyway, coming to the squad, Kane Williamson is back as captain. So that's one of the major announcements, which is interesting because I was wondering whether or not, you know, they'd move on from that. Particularly if you listen to Simon Dool and hear him talk about it, he'll have a fair few things to say about it. But hey, let me read this out for you, okay? Kane Williamson, captain. Finn Allen, Trent Bolt, Michael Bracewell, Mark Chapman, Devon Conway, Lockie Ferguson, Matt Henry, Daryl Mitchell, Jimmy Neesham, Glenn Phillips, Rachin Ravindra, Mitchell Santner, Ish Sodhi, Tim Saudi, and the travelling reserve is Ben Sears. So the only difference that they have from this squad and the team that played, you know, in the 2022 T20 World Cup is basically Adam Milne is gone and Kuptill is gone. And now you've got, I believe, Rachin Ravindra and... Maybe Bracewell has come in? I can't remember. But it's interesting because this is as full strength as it gets for New Zealand. You can't really think of another name who could have come ahead of these guys.
If Milne was fit, and obviously Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if Jameson gets in this side anyway, but that they would be the other two. It's an okay squad.
I mean, it's the best that
I
they
mean,
can.
I mean, isn't it?
The best.
Am I wrong?
Look, let me make a first 11 out of this, okay? Of course, Kane will have to play now that he's captain, right? Finn Allen opens with him. Yep. So he's the foil to Kane Williamson's anchorship. And at first drop, maybe then you have Devon Conway, because I don't know how you played Kane Williamson.
Can you really not have Devin Conway is one of the best openers in T20 cricket, and you're telling me that you can't fit him in as opener?
Then I guess Kane will have to bat at first drop, but that's suicide, right? Surely?
I think Kane Williamson's T20 strike rate in the power play is something like 108 in his career. I mean, he can't bat in the power play. He just cannot bat in the power play in the way that T20 cricket is currently being
Varun,
played.
Varun in the comments.
Conway and Finn
Varun
Allen.
In the comments is,
sorry.
Varun, our colleague in the comments, has told us that Kane Williamson's true strike rate is minus 14.2 in T20 internationals in the power play. So, okay. Conway, Finn Allen.
He cannot play in the power play.
Conway.
I mean, I don't think.
Yeah. No, go for it.
No, you're right. Conway, Finn Allen. Yep, I'll give you that. And then you still have Kane in the side because he has to be in the side.
Glenn Phillips. Maybe number four, Daryl Mitchell four, actually. Mitchell four, Phillips five. And who else do we got? Chapman six, maybe?
You probably then got Ravindra Bracewell, 6-7.
True. If we're playing in the Caribbean or New Zealand, that would help them. But Ruchin, jury's still out on him as a T20 player. So I'm not sure. Maybe Mitch Santner is safer.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right. But I mean, Bracewell has to go in. So maybe it is Chapman and Bracewell rather than Ravindra and Bracewell. But how many overs are you getting out of your top order? So you've got Glenn Phillips bowling a little bit.
Perhaps.
And then if you've got Bracewell at number seven, and you've got a little bit of Daryl Mitchell, I suppose, if you need a backup.
If James Neesham plays ahead of Chapman, you have more overs.
Yeah, you can play. So Phillips at five, Neesham at six, Bracewell at seven. Yeah.
Then you've got your
and then Santner at eight.
Lockie, Trent Bolt, I don't know, Matt Henry and Santner. That's still decent.
Can you play Matt Henry and Trent Bolt on the same side?
Mm. Yeah, because if I bowl three overs from Trent Bolt up front and Matt Henry, that's your power play, right?
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a lot of new ball bowler. There's talent there, obviously. It just doesn't look like to me it's a team that's going to win the tournament. Unless Finn Allen finally becomes the Finn Allen that people tell me he's going to be. And he may one day. I don't see it happening in this World Cup. And you would need then also probably Phillips and Bracewell to also have this tournaments that we expect, that we think they can have. And without that, I don't know. There's a lot of players there that are there because that isn't someone better. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's what's the point of having Tim Southee in the squad if you have Trent Bolt and Matt Henry?
Mm, that's true.
Like, they have three specialist new ball bowlers in this squad, right? And outside of Lachie Ferguson, who's your best death
ball? I mean, Lachie plays every game. Has to.
Yeah, so Southee is maybe their next best death bowler. And Bolt doesn't even bowl at the death in the IPL. Yeah. And Matt Henry is not a death bowler. I don't know. There's a lot of questions that I have with that squad, but they'll make it to the semifinals probably because that's what they do. But I also think the way T20 cricket is currently being played, I don't think you can play Daryl Mitchell and Kane Williamson.
True. I mean, I wouldn't play Kane at all at this point, right? Because, but they've named him captain. And I understand.
I don't know. I mean, once you name him captain, you can't really go back from that, can you? He's going to have to play.
And I mean, he's not going to probably get another game in the IPL. He was pretty poor in the games that he actually played. So let's see where that goes or how that goes for Kane Williamson. But I mean, they're going to find a way to make the semifinals anyway. But I believe they've got Afghanistan and Guyana. Tough game, right? Especially in Guyana.
Well, they can bowl Bracewell, Santner, Sodhi, Phillips. I know it's not Noor Ahmed, Rashid Khan and whoever else they chuck in there, Mujeeb. But they do. It's one thing for the West Indies part, they do have a lot of interesting, different spinners to throw at it. If they want to go down that, and the fact that Santner can bat, Bracewell can definitely bat, Phillips and Ravindra can both bat. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like they can go in with some pretty funky lineup. Like if they wanted to, they could go to somewhere like Ghana and just be like, great, let's do this. We're gonna pick five guys who can bowl spin here.
Yeah, I mean. But let's see how they at least strategize for this particular World Cup, because if they do play in the Caribbean, you expect spin to play a major role. But anyway, that's their squad. I think it's the best one they could have picked and love the jersey as well. We'll be taking a short break on Uncovered, you with Jared and Behram, and watch this ad. We'll be back with a lot of interesting Pakistan news for you.
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Welcome back to Uncovered. You guys are with Behram and Jared. And not sure if you noticed, Jared, but there was a press conference by the PCB. And there were some coaching announcements. So good news is that they actually have secured Gary Kirsten white ball coach and Jason Gillespie as red ball coach. So the rumors were true and they've somehow managed to, you know, get those two guys in those jobs, even though it's one of those jobs that no one would probably want to take given the track record of the PCB.
What was the last time Gary Kirsten coached a white ball team? Did he coach some of the SA20?
He's coaching in the IPL, right? Gujarat Titans.
Is he the head coach there? Oh, he is. Yeah, okay. Because I remember him coaching in Welsh Fire in the 100, and that one didn't go well. And I couldn't think of another team. But yeah, I thought he was assistant coach at Gujarat. They're not playing particularly well.
Yeah, no. They're actually
playing
like Pakistan. They're batting.
They actually play a very old-fashioned form of cricket. Yeah, except without the strike bowlers. Interesting. Obviously, him and Jason Gillespie are very smart, well-accomplished coaches. I don't have any issue from that perspective.
And by the way, he is assistant coach because the head coach is Ashish Nehra. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought. I don't think that... My point being is the Welsh Fire thing didn't go very well. I'm sure he has coached somewhere else since then. My conversations with people in cricket was that he was, when it came to limited overs cricket, a little bit old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. And we have had the biggest revolution in T20 cricket in the last 18 months. And Pakistan have just picked him as their white ball coach.
Didn't think about it that way.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying everyone can evolve, everyone can change and everything else. But that is what I had been told at various times that, yeah, he's a little bit, he believes in the game in a certain way and that's what he wants. And yeah, good luck anyway.
Yeah, interesting because, I mean, obviously, Pakistan fans will think about his successful time as Indian coach and how he won the 2011 ODI World Cup, but that was 2011. And then he did well as South African coach as well. But what Gary Kirsten has come and said is he says that I believe in continuity, which is not something that we see in Pakistan cricket. Consistency, which is something that we see in Pakistan cricket. So I'm not sure where he's on with the whole impact versus consistency debate. And then he's also said that, you know, he wants to... you know, use Pakistan's resources optimally, which Pakistan does not do. They do not believe in that. So if he can actually manage that, there might be some good results. But again, he'll be joining from the England tour and that's the only 4 games he'll get before the World Cup. That is a bit of an issue for me because you need some time with the squad to kind of understand them. And whilst he has coached a lot in India and literally the Indian team, so the culture or understanding the culture won't be as big of a challenge. You got to get to know your players. You got to acquaint yourself and understand what they're all about. And I think there's just not enough time for that.
If they bomb out in the World Cup, but I mean, come 7th, right? 9th.
Does he keep his job?
Yeah, it's my question. Yeah.
Well, they've given all 3 of these guys because Jason Gillespie is coach of the test team and Azhar Mahmood is all format assistant coach. So he's the bridge between these guys and the players. They've given them 2-year contracts. Now, whether or not those contracts actually live up to 2 years is a different story. But at least they've done something which makes sense, right? And Gillespie, I'm actually more happy about because he's had successful stints with Yorkshire, back-to-back county championships. Then he coached Sussex. And while Even though his recent record isn't great with South Australia, he has a title with the Adelaide Strikers, even though in Test cricket, that doesn't matter. But he says that he wants to win and he doesn't want to make these players something that they're not. So Pakistan were already kind of, you know, upping the strike rate in Test cricket. They were going at around 4 and over. So I wonder if him and Shaan Masood could make a really good partnership. That's the part that really excites me because I love Dizzy. I think he's a calm and collected fellow and he's a level 4 ECB accredited coach, which Pakistan has not had for a long time. Coaches with badges, we don't do that here.
He's known as very much a vibes coach, someone who makes the players feel very confident in themselves. He's not really a technical coach all that much, is what I'm told. Although he certainly had a big impact on Ishant Sharma from a technical point of view when he was at Sussex, I think. But you know, I think there's a lot of things that he is a little bit more of a, you know, manager rather than a coach. So you need really good assistant coaches around him, which, you know, you would hope for in that. So you need to pair him with really good people. But he certainly had respect. And, you know, I've always heard mixed reviews about his coaching from the players involved, only because I think a lot of, especially in first-class cricket, a lot of players like actually like to be coached. Whereas in Test cricket, they kind of just want someone to tell them how great they are. So there is a difference in the two levels. But yeah, let's see how he goes. Yeah. I mean, he's had success before, as you said.
I mean, he'll have to work like 3 months a year because Pakistan plays like 6 tests a year, right? So it's not a stressful job. But again, I mean, I just hope they give these guys time because they don't do that in Pakistan. And stability is the need of the hour. Pakistan has had none of that since the last year and a half. So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I am for these appointments. I think they're pedigreed coaches, but you've actually made me concerned about Gary Kirsten now. Gillespie, not so much. Anyway, another thing that the chairman announced was that women's cricket will be given equal importance as men's cricket, which I don't believe until I see it. But they said that they're going to prep the team up for Test cricket. That's, you know, nice. And even though they made Abdul Razak this selector for women's cricket who made misogynistic comments to now captain Nida Dar. So, wonder how that'll go. But, you know, that was probably one of the only L's for the PCB this week. Oh, yeah, and the army camp. It's injuring the players. Azam tore his calf. Rizwan, the guy who's never injured and when he even is injured is playing, is injured. And Irfan Khan Niazi, who was the fittest guy in the PSL and on that, or during the army camp, he passed it with flying colors. All of those guys are injured and the PCB just comes and says, yeah, no relation. We didn't do any cricketing activities at the army camp, so this can't be related to that. That's bizarre. That's stupid.
Look, the women's cricket thing is great news and we obviously want to hear more teams internationally do that. I know there are some associate nations that have even put the women above the men and just been like, you're playing better, we're going to back you and then we'll see how it goes. It's really good, but we have to see the proof. Of that, it needs to be out on the field and there needs to be investment made. And as you said, not, you know, the misogyny first step is not the best way to go. But the army camp continues to be funny and I enjoy it.
Yeah, it is hilarious at this point because it seems like one glorified PR campaign at this point, right? The players were playing constant cricket since the Asia Cup and the one break they had, you made them go to an army camp. Anyway, lastly, in that presser, they basically said that the stadiums in Karachi and Lahore will be upgraded, which is great news. And they also have given a plan to the ICC for the Champions Trophy, which I don't think will happen in Pakistan, but they want to hold it in or host it in mid-Feb. And they have earmarked 3 stadiums for that, which is venues, Rawalpindi, Karachi and Lahore. So even if they can somehow get the entire tournament to be played in Pakistan with all of the India games in, I don't know, Sri Lanka, that would be a win over here for them. But I doubt it. I don't think it'll happen that way.
No. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens next, I suppose, is the best way of looking at that at the moment. But yeah, I find it very unlikely.
Yeah. Anyway, we're done with our, you know, talking points. We've got one super chat. So Swami Nathan Ramesh Sashi says, how does the idea of Ravi as Pakistan coach sound? Sounds like a tracer bullet to me.
Oh, I thought he meant Bishnoi.
Oh.
Or Bopara.
Hey, aren't we supposed to get...
There's a lot of Ravis.
Aren't we supposed to get Rohit Sharma as our batting coach at some point? He said that in one of the press conferences, right?
Yeah. I don't think you will ever get a big name Pakistani coach. And the reason is that the PCB have such a bad reputation with everyone. So, I mean, the Ravi one's obviously a bit of a joke, but just in general... I don't think you would ever get a Brendan McCullum level coach to one of those jobs because it's just not worth it. I think for Gillespie, he's had a lot of success domestically, you know, in two different continents. And he believes he should be an international coach. He's taking this as an opportunity to be able to push that further. Most other people who are already successful coaches would be like, no, I don't think so. I don't think I trust you. I don't think I'll be there in 6 months' time. I don't want people talking about how much I'm paid. I don't want people talking about what my wife wore when she went out in the streets. I don't want people misinterpreting my comments at press conferences. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be abused at press conferences.
I don't want my chats to be leaked.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff, right? Like, and it's not just them. You know, Sri Lanka really, really was lucky with Chris Silverwood. Mm-hmm. Because he was in such a bad place. I can promise you, Sri Lanka, like most people that are offered Sri Lankan cricket coaching jobs are like, no. At least with Pakistan, they go, no. So there's a few boards that people don't want to work with because they don't trust them. Yeah. And PCB is certainly at the top of that. And so, yeah, I mean, Tracy Bullitt himself, I still think, you know, someone like Spotify is going to give him like $2 million a year and he'll end up being the Joe Rogan of cricket podcasts. But or it might not even be about cricket. No, Shastri, he'd just talk about random things. Yeah. He'd be like, what's the deal with paper straws? Wouldn't if Ravi Shastri's first podcast episode isn't about paper straws, what are we even doing in our life?
Or bathrooms, right? Because of that photo shoot, remember?
Let's not bring that back. Well, that was a piss take of Shubman Gill, someone told me. Is that right?
I have no clue, but I enjoyed it, you know? It was fun.
Well, who doesn't like a middle-aged man flaunting
himself? Estelle loved it as well.
Well, I mean, most humans.
But also guys like Ravi Shastri and maybe put JL in there, they're so Indian or Australian in their national team coaching style that I feel like they could only coach their national teams if it came to that. Because Ravi was a vibes guy as well. Maybe.
I don't think that. I think Shastri could coach right across. I don't know how great a coach he was, but he's probably a manager in that sort of Gillespie style. Sure. I think that would be absolutely fine in other places. Langer has issues, I think, when he goes outside of Australia. But, you know, I don't have a problem with that sort of stuff, but they're just not, it's, you know, from Jeff Lawson to now, it has been tough for Pakistan to get major coaches because people like Jeff Lawson have said what it was like, right? And, you know, and now you've got the Mickey Arthur story on top of that, right?
The Mickey Arthur story is terrible. It's not a good look at all. But anyway, we'll see how this stuff fares. That is it for this episode of Uncovered. If you guys enjoyed this episode, give us a like on YouTube and subscribe to both this YouTube channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. And just a reminder that if you want a one-stop shop for all of our content, written content, videos, and podcasts, you should go to goodareas.co and bookmark that website. That is all for this week of Uncovered, and we'll be back next week with another episode. And you guys have a good one till then. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku, as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.